Blog Talk Radio.
Live because we want to stay alive in Torat Chaim, instructions of life, Torat Ches, instructions of kindness, Torat Rachamim. You're now tuned into a higher inner frequency of Soul Class 364, whose presence is divine, part two, and we'll continue to pluck out inspirations from a Hasidic discourse by the Lubavitcher Rebbe from 5,711 years, blazing and grazing into creation, corresponding to the solar calendar year of 1951. Meanwhile, may the Most High Creator bless you and your loved ones peacefully and pleasantly. And we just heard 2 minutes and about 16 to 18 seconds of Isaac Baton, blessed brother and spirit soul in prayer at the famous Frankel Shul here in Chester Crown Heights, and also the president of Beit Mazal, a wonderful congregation featuring the best of Sephardic ancestral chantings out of prayers and thanks to the Most High on this coming Shabbat and every Shabbat basically throughout the year. And hopefully if any of you are in the Brooklyn area this coming Shabbat in Chester Crown Heights, located at 1433 Present Street between Kingston Avenue and Albany Avenue, I myself, your local Torah, cyberspace Torah activist Don Tzvi Goodman, and hopefully my blessed son Yosef Yitzhak Goodman will be there to pray, and hopefully we can vibe out after the prayers, because during the prayers, blessed son, don't chit-chat, we only do that after the completion of the prayers. Joining me live today is Rambam teacher, student advocate, Dennis Ron. Good morning, Dennis, and I thought that would be a little spicy presentation to start off the show, a little authentic Jewish, African, Moroccan music.
You could feel the spirit in it, Don. Boker Tov.
Boker Tov. And that was probably the type of music similar in style and lyrical content that someone like the Rambam would have listened to over 800 years ago. So I just was getting a little nostalgic. People talk about the 50s music. Well, we're talking about the 1100s music. With that being said, blessed souls, I want to start off the show the teaching. First of all, today is now the 28th day of the Hebrew month of Sivan, 5,774 years blazing and grazing to creation. And it happens to be on this very date, 73 years ago, that the Lubavitcher Rebbe, may his merits protect us, and his Rebbetzin, Rebbetzin Chaim Mushka, came to the shores of America when already Europe was going up in flames and smoke and all the blood, sweat, and tears of World War II. And I likened this, the miraculous arrival of the Rebbe, although they traveled through a boat. It was the last boat to get out of war-torn Europe at that particular time. And although the field had been plowed by his father-in-law, the sixth Lubavitch Rebbe, Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak Schneerson of Lubavitch, I likened the arrival of the Rebbe and the Rebbetzin to the shores of America, where the Rebbe would spend, up until his ascension to the next level of life in 1994, as a seed being planted, but first having to travel from one shore, the European continent, to travel through the tumultuous ocean waters of the Atlantic Ocean, escaping the deadly missiles and fire of the Nazis with I think they were called the U-boats, or the submarines that they had back then, and coming to the shore. And we see that 73-plus years later, although there's still a lot of work to be done in terms of strengthening Torah observance, that the planting of these two blessed, holy individuals, saintly individuals, certainly has had its mark not only on the Jewish population, but also as the children of Noah, otherwise known as the Gentile population. And one of their ancestors related this story to the grandfather of the sixth Lubavitch Rebbe, which I want to use as a prefatory teaching for today's class, because we're going to get into some technical explanations of what is the concept of Shekhinah, divine presence. And it goes like this. The Tzemach Tzedek once told his son, my grandfather, who happened to be the fourth Lubavitch Rebbe, so here we have a story being transmitted from the third Lubavitch Rebbe to the fourth Lubavitch Rebbe, who would later translate to the sixth Lubavitch Rebbe, that we should hear this story many years later. An incident took place in his life experience, and he concluded and said, for helping someone in his livelihood, even to earn just 70 kopecks, which at that time was a small, low-value Russian coin, on a calf, a baby cow, all the gates to the heavenly chambers are open for him. Years later, my grandfather, the fourth Lubavitch Rebbe, told this to my father, the fifth Lubavitch Rebbe, and added, one should really know the route to the heavenly chambers. But actually, it is not crucial. You only need the main thing, to help another wholeheartedly with sensitivity and to take pleasure in doing a kindness to another. So now, that's the focus of today's program. We're going to get into some technicalities of explanations from the inner dimensions of Torah, but not to lead people to the idea that we're just getting into highfalutin ivory tower philosophy, but to remember as well, the essential thing is to help one another wholeheartedly with sensitivity and to take pleasure in doing kindness for another person. Your take on these matters.
If you can't show love for your fellow human, can you really show love for your God? Or are you just fooling yourself? Because he made us all in the same zalem form, shape, and therefore we have to honor everything that God has made, either through creation or recreation. So therefore, you must love your fellow human like you love yourself, because that's what God expects. He expects the same love that you show for your fellow human towards him.
Beautiful, Dennis. And now let's start to go into the first elucidation of the Torah presentation from the oral Torah perspective on the concept of Shekhinah, divine presence. And this is plucking again from a teaching from the Lubavitch Rebbe, who delivered this elucidation, or what I'm plucking this inspiration from, over 63 years ago. So Admor HaZaken, literally the elderly Rebbe, the first Lubavitch Rebbe, elucidated that when we consider the term as described within Torah, from within oral Torah traditions, of the idea of Shekhinah, we should focus on how Shekhinah, involves a divine presence of dwelling and enclosing itself within multiple dimensions of creation. Now, simultaneously, I'm going to add parenthetically, the implication of dwelling and enclosement of a concept which is very familiar to most people, the idea of divinity, or as we say in Hebrew, Elokus, directs our attention towards the beginning of an idea that also people sometimes maybe think about, maybe will learn to think about it more, or never even thought they should think about it, the idea of the beginning of the revelation of the Or Ein Sof, meaning the light of the Creator, since the Creator is infinite, that which the Creator interfaces with, is empowered on a journey of infinity. And or also implies the idea of consciousness, physical illumination. It also encompasses the idea of vitality and work that can transpire once the recipient of that energy, that light, that consciousness is on the receiving end of such a pristine revelation. So the beginning of the revelation of what we call the Or Ein Sof, the infinite light of Creator, relates to revelations which are even higher, way higher, than the human realm of intellect, even higher than a realm that is so existing on a simultaneous higher dimension of the divine world of intellect, also known as the Olam of Atzilut. As well, there is a level of revelation of Or Ein Sof before even there was a divine process called Tzimtzum, which is the I literally talking about a type of divine contraction of the Creator's divine light, which transpires or transpired and is transpiring according to our limited human awareness. Now, what we're trying to say, blessed souls, is that since the Creator is infinite and everything that the Creator chooses within his blessed will and desire and love and mercy to interact with is in fact imbued with some little fragment. You might want to call it a molecule. You might want to call it a, you might want to give it a quantum measurement. Anything that Creator is interacting with is imbued with some level of infinity. But paradoxically as well, being that there is only one true source of all infinity, and Creator has made space within his mercy for creation that we should also exist, we are not at the same level as the Creator. We are finite beings who are surging and retreating from this consciousness, whether on a conscious or subconscious level, of the fact that there is something way beyond this which is infinite and ever-expanding, I'd like to say the universe, but Creator is not bound by those attributes as we understand an expanding universe, because again, the universe is a created entity that was so decreed to be. So, that being said, I'm going to turn to Dennis. Again, we're getting a little bit technical, but we're trying to, Dennis, bring people into the idea that revelation has a technical, well, this is our tradition, of course. I mean, people might agree or disagree with us. There is a technical presentation to the idea of revelation of God's light. Again, it's more important that a person does good in the world, but if a person wants to get a sense of the profundity of Creator's divinity, one is also is invited, if he or she wants to explore these concepts of the idea of the gradation, so to speak, of how divine light encloses itself and enlivens everything that it interacts with. Your take on these matters.
Well, it's not really, in my vocabulary, I wouldn't call it technical. I would call it complicated, Don. Why? Because the Greeks originally came out with the idea and said, well, God is everywhere. Then they added another line, and they said, he's into everything. So this became pantheism, as we call it today, and people actually believe God was in a rock, God was in a tree, God was in a cloud. However, how I explain it today is that God's presence is here. It is right all around you. You open up your eyes, you don't see God. Your ears hear things, you don't hear God. So God exists here in your mind. You can communicate with him, you can recognize his presence, but the one thing you're going to have a hard time doing is ignoring him. He is with you, he is present, and you must use that connection in your mind. You have a free will, and you have a brilliant brain that God has given everybody. But you have to use it, and using it it means that you have to communicate with him and recognize his presence, because we are humble human beings who are on earth, and we hope to get into heaven at some time. And to do that, we must show that we're worthy, and to be worthy is to use all the talents he has given us.
True. beautiful point, Stan. I just want to mention that you brought how the Greeks introduced the idea of pantheism. Now, what I was talking about, and I think you understand that, but just for those who are listening who might not understand it, or those who will hopefully hear the archive version in the near future, we are not promoting a pantheistic order, because we say that when I said before that the Most High, the Almighty Creator, imbued something of infinity into each particle of creation, as I'm recapitulating what I said earlier, it didn't make that turn that thing into God itself, but rather it has a level of godliness. And there is a lot of confusion among many people, even between the Creator himself and that which he emanates out. So, for instance, I'm emanating out the faculty of human speech, as just as you are, and we're interacting with each other, and other people are listening live, and hopefully we'll listen to the archive version. However, that doesn't mean that our speech is one speech. It's two different entities. You're empowered by your divine image. I'm empowered by my divine image. But you or I certainly would not consider ourselves to be gods. But the problem that the Greeks created for themselves and for future theological notions, if you want to put it in that terminology, is that when everything became God, well, the Greek gods became all too human with a lot of foibles and faults and clashes and jealousy, and then basically they made a mockery of the whole conceptualization of everything, so to speak. I mean, God forbid we don't believe in this, is God, and they turned it into just the machinations of human imagination. Here we're talking about the fact that, you know, there's this quantum, the quantum string theory, which was co-authored by or co-discovered or co-conceptualized by Dr. Michio Kaku, who is a physics professor here in the CUNY School in Upper Manhattan, taking ideas from Einstein. There is this search within the world of quantum physics for that one element which unifies everything. And what we're saying is we already need it. We don't have to bring it to the physics laboratory. We don't have to put it into some sort of atom smasher. We don't have to go to some scientific institute in Europe to try to smash an atom or to isolate a molecule or a particle from a wave. We know that God's glory fills the earth, as testified to us by the prophet Isaiah. Any take on these matters? Yeah.
Yeah, the teaching of the Rambam that's been prevalent for many, many years is that we as humans can only use our human references to describe things we don't know. And in the spiritual world, our human values, our human language does not probe into the spiritual world. It's just in our imagination. So what happens is we cannot use human terms to really describe God. So because he is so far above us that we don't have a language that includes God's world. So we're left with the limited use of the human language to try to describe and understand. So a lot of this depends on how strong your faith and belief is, because True. That's where your imagination is needed.
True. And in fact, from within the Hasidic realm, our whole cognitive processing sequencing is based on an area within the mind, which is called Koach HaMadama, which is literally the power of imagination. But there's a sublime paradox going on, Dennis, as we try to probe our consciousness towards seeking Creator and serving Him out of love and fear and fellowship with other people, is that there's not a power of truth in our brain as much as there is a truth within the truthfulness or eternality of our blessed souls, which is literally ultimately linked up to the Almighty Creator. Yet we have to process, as you said, using human language to approximate where we stand in terms of our relationship to the Creator. And at the same time, too, we have the empowerment from Scripture. And for those who want to, they can call from the oral Torah teachings, as myself, I am accustomed to do. And then, of course, there is the ongoing endeavor to try to speak about it with other human beings. So whether or not we agree, if we agree on certain things, we disagree on certain things, we both know that we're on a certain firm, steady path of trying to seek God, to know Him, to serve Him, to love Him, to fear Him, and to share these ideas with other people. Your take on that matter?
Well, we were taught that life is building blocks, And as you learn, you understand. As you understand, you now become supposedly wiser. So we don't have to go back and reestablish our basics and our fundamentals. So we are moving forward in life as we get older. That's part of the life process. Mm-hmm. So what happens is, as you're building up this knowledge, you become more inquisitive, and you don't have to ask some of the really simple and basic questions, because you're now trying to figure out, how do you fit in? While we're learning, we're not too sure how we fit in. But after we learn enough, we should understand how we fit into life and our relationship with God.
Beautiful, Dennis. And now, before we go on to, and I don't even think we're going to have enough time to go into the second elucidation, we just want to clarify and review something that we shared with you earlier, Blessed Souls, about the Alter Rebbe, the Admor Zakin's elucidation on the concept of Shekhinah, divine presence. Number one, we should be aware of the fact that we as human beings, especially since the fact that every human being that ever was, is, and always will be upon this earth, as we understand it, as long as Creator wills that there should be an earth with human beings upon it, and empowering us as our divine image, we are always within proximity to divine presence, the Shekhinah, that level of godliness whose essential direction of revelation is within a process, point number two, involves a manifestation of enclosement of divinity within different realms of the creation. As well, Shekhinah, divine presence, is also a term we should associate with the beginning of revelation of divinity. Again, we might take the concept of divinity or godliness or elokus for granted, but there was a beginning process, not because God had to start a process, because we as the receivers of these revelations, at whatever level we can become aware of divinity, there was a beginning process of revelation towards us. Again, the Creator was not required to do this, but since He created us as receivers of these type of teachings, this type of awareness, there's a point of beginning for us. There is no point of beginning of Creator, and therefore there is no point of beginning of when He revealed His light as it relates unto Himself. Now, this divinity preceded this physical world. This divinity, Elos Kus, this level called Shekhinah, preceded all realms of speech, and this level of divinity, Elokus, Shekhinah, divine presence, preceded all realms of thought as well. Shekhinah, divine presence, as we conclude with this fifth recapitulation of what we talked about earlier, existed within, well, again, this term that we mentioned before, the Or Ein Sof, the infinite light of the Creator, before divine attention was given towards beginning the primordial act of creation, which transpired again via what is known as the Tzimtzum Arishon, the first contraction. And again, none of this was necessary from within the part of the Creator to do so. He could have chose billions and trillions and gazillions of ways of bringing about this creation. But these series of elucidations, which were shared with us today, Blessed Souls, was a means of us to, again, to bring our awareness from a level of non-awareness or curiosity, or perhaps we've learned teachings like this before, to hopefully want to immerse ourselves again to learn more about what is this idea of the godliness that is manifesting the creation before there was a creation, and why Creator had chosen as an instruction for us to, so to speak, tailor down the intensity of the divine light in order that we created beings would have what we call and identify as existence or life on earth as we know it. Dennis, your take on these matters.
In everybody's mind, there's a little yellow post-it, and it only has one word on it. It's the word God. It is there for a purpose, to remind you that we have a connection, and you must explore it, use it, and think about it. You can't ignore it. You have a free will, but the post-it remains, and it was put there for a purpose. Use it.
beautiful, Dennis. And believe it or not, Dennis, we've come to the end of today's humble presentation here of Soul Class number 364, Whose Presence is Divine, Part 2. I just want to conclude with allowing Dennis to say his final word before I make my concluding remarks. Dennis?
Love is a tough thing, but you have to face it and use it. Scripture talks about love, but it doesn't tell you how to love. You must give it the human feeling and bring love alive.
Thank you, Dennis. With that being said, blessed, I want to end with a prophecy from the prophet Isaiah, from chapter 56, verse 1 and part of verse 2. Thus said Creator, observe justice and perform righteousness. For my salvation is soon to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. Praiseworthy is the man, and I'll inject / woman. Praiseworthy is the human being who does this, and the person who grasps it tightly. Blessed souls, I just want to remind everyone as we're now heading off now to our flagship ending soulful performer David Dome, who will be singing My Light Will Shine. This song is sweeter than wine, to help you get back home to realize that you can get off in scrimmage with your divine image. Your Tzelem Elohim is no dream. And we all should be truthful to ourselves and to others and share it with others. It's not so easy to be good all the time. But, again, embedded within our divine image, embedded within our blessed souls, is a little piece of infinity that's enlivening us, not making us gods, but gives us the potential to reveal it in the most manifest manner to be godly beings, godly human beings, good human beings, humble, happy human beings, rejoicing in the idea that we can make it a better world, hopefully in a way of Ahava Chad, one love, Goral Chad, one destiny, Kolam for all us, Bardarchi Shalom, in a peaceful way, Darchi Noam, in a pleasant way, Laham Shik, to be continued, Bez Hashem Yisparech, to be continued with the help of the Most High. Remember, blessed souls, it's all within what you want to be. Wherever you are, whatever you want, that's what you're thinking, and that's where you truly are. Think about the Creator and the fact that Shekhinah, Divine Presence, is right next to you, and it might even be indwelling within you if you've made a space in your mind and your blessed heart. Let's make that space. Take care, everyone.
Dabri.